Can everyone see me on the screen okay, or should I be up on the stage for all the people watching? It just feels so lonely at the front. There's just like one front row of chairs. Hello, angels. Oh, I actually forgot a prop. Oh, I'm going to miss you, Josh. I'm going to cry. So anyway, it's my, I guess, privilege and honor to share the word this morning. And we are continuing in this series of being and bearing the image of Christ. And today, I just want to share a little bit on the power of empathy. And decided to talk about this because I think it fits really nicely after what Rob shared last week about weaknesses and vulnerability. And then also next week, we're going to be talking about the treasures that we find in grief and loss. So today, I just want to share a little bit about empathy. And today, I actually brought my kintsugi cup. If you remember, Rob was talking about, I think that's how you pronounce it, isn't it? You would know, wouldn't you, Rainer? You can speak Japanese. Is it called kintsugi? I think it's called kintsugi. But anyway, I think this was bought from Kmart for about $2 or something. And it was smashed. Then I had to glue it together and it's got this gold dust. And I wrote some stuff that, you know, I was feeling broken in. And then, you know, God repairs that. And it's quite special. So it's worth about $1 million now if anyone would like to buy it. Might auction it off a bit later on or something. Imagine that, $1 million for a cup. But today, yeah, I want to talk about empathy, and I just want to really talk about two areas. I want to just explore what is empathy, and then I also just want to think about why is empathy actually important for us as the body of believers. So, and excuse me, my voice is a bit croaky. But yeah, so let's start with, where am I going? What empathy is. So I just want to give us a few definitions. So the first one I want to give is by a guy called Daniel Goleman, and he writes this in a book called The Emotional Intelligence from 1996. He says this, empathy is built on self-awareness. The more open we are to our own emotions, the more skilled we will be in reading feelings. So to have empathy, there is it's actually a skill to be able to tune in with how we are feeling. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I can really struggle to express the way I feel. Maybe it's a man thing. Maybe I just never talk about the way I'm feeling inside. I don't know. Maybe it's just a man thing and I got to get over that and just, you know, be in touch with my feelings more. Plato actually says this. He says, the highest form of knowledge is empathy. It requires us to suspend our egos and live in another's world. So I think part of having empathy is actually being able to put ourselves in other people's shoes, being able to actually really feel what they are feeling. And in a sense, it's actually to be able to read people's emotions in that moment and then to be able to actually respond appropriately to that. And just another definition, I love this. This one is by a guy called Kurt Thompson. So if you don't know, Vicky put me onto this. I don't know how we got talking about this. Maybe it was in the office one day. And she was like, oh, you got to listen to this podcast called Being Known. And I've literally listened to, I think I haven't listened to the latest season, but I encourage you to listen to it because he's actually a Christian psychiatrist and he goes through the way the brain actually works. And it's just really incredible. And then he ties it in with God and the Holy Spirit. And so he says this about empathy. He says, empathy at its best involves several elements. First, and how it is most broadly understood, is it is the notion that one person, the listener in this case, is able to be receptive to and feel the usually painful emotion of another person, simultaneously holding that emotion in such a way so as to move thoughtfully to reduce the speaker's suffering or distress. To experience empathy is to feel felt. I was like, wow, that's a really good definition. And I don't know about you, but that's a good question, I think, to ask myself. Like, when I'm hanging out with other people, do they actually feel felt in my presence? When I'm hanging out with someone else and they're just unloading, like, oh my gosh, I had this happen this week, or there was a massive drama. Does their suffering actually, or distress, does it actually lower when I'm with them? Maybe it's higher. Maybe I just add to the fire. I'm like, oh, have you thought about this or that? But it's an interesting question I think we can ask ourselves, because it is such a, I don't know, it's just so refreshing to be in the presence of someone where you feel felt and you feel like, man, all these problems are actually de-escalate, like they're, I'm not as stressed now after hanging out with you. So interesting food for thought. And Kurt says that there's actually several elements, and I just want to briefly talk about three things here this morning, and thinking about just different areas of empathy. So the first one is, there's a thing, cognitive empathy. So if you walk a mile in someone else's shoes, you see things from their perspective. So cognitive empathy is really about, what do other people see? Put yourself in their shoes. What is it from their perspective? And I think the best way to think about this is, like, if I was driving on the road, you have like a certain perspective, you know. Raina can tell you all about it. She's learning to drive. It's great. But you have a certain perspective when you're on the road. And then your perspective changes, obviously, like if you're flying in a plane. It's very different. You see things from a different angle in a different way. So that's a bit about cognitive empathy. And then we have this thing called emotional empathy. So reading the feelings of other people, it's not communicated in words. It's often via facial expressions. You can actually catch how people are feeling by their facial expressions, by their posture, by their tone of voice. These are all indications of how someone might be feeling. So interesting, isn't it? Empathy. Compassionate empathy. So this is about, you read as best you can the emotional temperature, and then you be aware of your own and you take action when you're concerned. So the question is, are you in tune with your emotions? Are you able to actually describe how you're feeling? Are you aware of times when you're joyful, happy? I think I am. That's pretty awesome. But what about times when you're feeling sad, or you're feeling maybe stressed or anxious? Because the more we actually understand our own emotions, the more we will be able to pick up on what others are feeling, if that makes sense. So that's just a few definitions from some different people. And now I want to just look at a story in the Bible, because, you know, we're in church. We've got to read the Bible. It's good. And I actually want to take us to, I'm going to break my carpet and then I'm going to have to like re-glue it. I'm just going to leave it, not on the Nord, because that would be naughty. I just made a joke there. We're going to go to John chapter 11. And I just want to read from verses 32 to 43. And this is the story of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. And I think for me, this just really captures it captures who Jesus is and like the empathy he shows towards particularly Martha and Mary and the whole crowd of people. So I'm going to start at verse 32. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, that was perfect timing. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. "Where have you laid him?" he asked. "Come and see, Lord," they replied. Verse 35, Jesus wept. That's the shortest verse in the Bible, if anyone was wondering. Verse 36 says, "Then the Jews said, 'See how he loved him.' But some of them said, 'Could he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?' Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. 'Take away the stone,' he said. 'But Lord,' said Martha, the sister of the dead man, 'by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there 4 days. Then Jesus said, 'Did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God?' So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me.' And when he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come out.' The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, 'Take off the grave clothes and let him go.'" Wow. Wow. Jesus totally models empathy to us. Verse 33 says, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. He was feeling for Mary and Martha, who had just lost their brother. He felt what they were going through. He had a deep connection to them. He was feeling what they were feeling. Then again, verse 35, Jesus wept. Verse 38, it says, again, Jesus once more deeply moved. I think it's a, I don't know, it's a good reminder for myself. I mainly preach to myself. But Jesus was not just some emotionless robot. He was fully God, but also fully man, fully human. He understands our emotions and what we actually, how our emotions function, what we're going through. He understands it. And God's actually able to empathize with us in this, right? That he sent his one and only son to earth. John 3:16, we heard that verse last week. And 17. He became human in Jesus, and he not only created us, but he also understands us. He experienced what it was like to be in a human body. I don't know about you, but that just blows my mind every time I think about God. Like, oh my gosh, you actually came to earth in Jesus and you experienced what it was like to live in a human body, yet you were perfect without sin. Wow. Hebrews 4:14 says this. I just want to go through some verses about empathy. It says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Oh, that is such a beautiful verse, isn't it? We do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness. God feels it when we're hurting. Jesus knows. He went through it all. He carried the cross. And it's also interesting to think about, I've just had this thought the other day, what about God in the Old Testament? I think God knows what it's like to be like, in one sense, like let down. It's like God was continuously providing for the Israelites and they were continuously turning away from God. God knows what it's like for when somebody turns away from you. He knows. But God continued to love, to show them favor, and he made them feel felt in his presence. Just thinking about that verse in Philippians, how Jesus says Jesus emptied himself of his divine nature, endured death onto a cross. God understands us. How good is that? Just a few more verses from Paul. He actually says in Romans 12, 15 to 8, rejoice with those who rejoice, mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. I love that verse. I think I do the rejoicing really well. But the mourning, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to a funeral. It's a bit dark. I don't want to feel that loss. I just want to be happy all the time. But Paul says, like, we got to actually mourn with those who are mourning and rejoice with those who are rejoicing. It's about helping people feel felt. Galatians 6, 2 to 3 says, share each other's burdens. My mind goes straight to Lord of the Rings. Share the Lord, Frodo. You know Sam and Frodo? That's my favorite scene, right? He's just like, I can't carry you, Frodo. No, what does he say? I can't carry the ring, but I can carry you, Mr. Frodo. And he carries Sam up the burning mountain. Sam carries Frodo up. Sorry, I jumbled my words. But it's about sharing each other's burdens. Because it says, and in this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You're not too important. That's such a good reminder for myself. You're not too important, Brady. So those are just a few verses about what empathy is. Now I just want to just dive into why is empathy important. Because empathy actually helps us to connect with people at a deeper level. It actually draws people to us because it helps them feel understood, and it builds this thing called, I think, trust. And I think if we want to be more like Jesus and if we want to follow him, like, we need empathy because Jesus models it. And wasn't quite sure what to share here, but I was just thinking, man, I just wanted to actually find a clip of empathy. And I think The Chosen does this really, really well. So I have a little clip that we're going to watch that goes for about 4 minutes, and it's Jesus healing the leper. And oh my gosh, you just see how he just like meets him where he's at, and he has this empathetic nature. And it's just such a beautiful picture of Jesus and the way he portrays empathy. So we'll just watch that, if that's okay.
Not to spoil this beautiful day or anything, huh? Come on.
It's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John.
Rabbi, you cannot, it's disease, please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you can do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
Cleansed.
mercy. Thank you. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor.
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go. Show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you, just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
Yeah. Such a beautiful image of just Jesus' empathetic nature. Jesus reflects empathy. It's part of his character. And often the Gospels will say that, it often says that he was actually moved by compassion for the people. He would feel for the people, and then he would be moved by that, by his compassion, and then it resulted in him healing a whole lot of people. And one of my favorite passages is actually from Matthew 14, 12 to 14. I'm really curious how they're going to show this one in The Chosen. But it's the story of when Jesus finds out about his cousin John, who had just been beheaded, and then says he actually takes a step back and wants to actually get some time to be alone and just center himself and actually just be alone with the Father. So it says he gets on a boat and he starts to go across the water with his disciples. He's like, let's get away to someplace quiet. And then he steps off and then the whole crowd figures out where he's going. And then it says, but he was moved by compassion for the people. And then it says he stayed and ministered to them and healed all their sick. How incredible is that? I don't know if you know what it's like to like lose someone who's dear to you, but it's pretty confronting. I don't know if I could do that. Like you just lose someone and you're just like, oh, you're feeling the grief of that. And then you step off a boat and just start ministering and loving people and healing people. Wow. But empathy builds connection to people. And if people feel like you understand them and that there is a sense that they feel felt when hanging out with you, it builds a very deep connection. And Jesus, he just models this so much. Another story I think of is Zacchaeus, like up the tree. Like he was looking for Jesus. And Rob kind of briefly shared on this last week as well, but it's like Zacchaeus was the chief tax collector, like a gangster. Not a good guy, but he felt in the presence of Jesus. Jesus looked him in the eye and said, Zacchaeus, I'm coming to your house to have dinner. And then something happened to Zacchaeus in that moment. He was like, he had this encounter with Jesus. He felt in his presence. So much so that he piped up at dinner and was like, that's it. I'm going to pay back twice over what I owe people. He just had this crazy encounter with Jesus. What about the woman caught in adultery? That blows my mind. John chapter 8. Like, well, how did the Pharisees know in the first place? You know, like, come on, guys. But like, she felt in the presence of Jesus. And that changed her. And, there's so many stories about the power of empathy in the Gospels. And it's very clear to me that Jesus models this. And the question I want to, I guess, ask us this morning is, Do we feel felt in the presence of God? Because I can often forget that God actually knows exactly what it's like to be human, to experience what I'm experiencing every day. Jesus had emotions. He wasn't just a robot. And he knows how you feel. He knows what you've been through or what you're going through. He empathizes with you. And part of that is, I believe, is actually being vulnerable and actually allowing God into those parts of our lives through surrendering to him. God feels us and we are felt in his presence. The only way I can think about this, or a good way to think about it for me at the moment, is just thinking about my baby girl, Beatrix, when she's having a hard time. I'm not just like, what are you doing? Why are you crying? Stop. Well, sometimes I am if I'm at the end of my rope. But usually it's, I come down to her and I pick her up and I cuddle her and I say, oh, what's happened? Are you okay? It's okay. You're going to be okay. You'll get through this. She just lets it all out. She starts crying and it's a mess, but it's okay. And the challenge for us then is to actually, you know, we feel felt in the presence of God. Then how do we share that empathy with others? How do we help other people then feel felt in our presence as we have the Holy Spirit living in us? So those are just some thoughts for some reflection as we, you know, go forth this morning. And so would it be possible to do one last song? How could we let you leave without one last song? Come on. Encore. But as we you know, worship, as we sing again, I'd like us to just reflect and just think about that. Ask the Holy Spirit. Do you know that you're felt in the presence of God? Do you feel that? Maybe there's something in your heart that's, maybe you're like, it's blocking you a little bit from feeling felt in the presence of God. I'd encourage you to actually just come and surrender that to the Father. Maybe you're like, you know what, I feel great. I feel felt in the presence of God. That's good. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you then help others feel felt